Heute begrüße ich euch in Salt Lake City im Bundesstaat Utah, 3.500 Kilometer entfernt von meinem Studio in Brooklyn. Salt Lake City kennen die meisten von euch sicher als Wintersportort, aber es ist auch ein Ort der Gläubigen. Die Stadt wurde gegründet von den Mormonen und heute sind ihre Gotteshäuser Pilgerorte. Naja, und Gläubige sind wir Börsianer ja gewissermaßen eigentlich auch. Wir glauben, mit unserem Einsatz einen Gewinn machen zu können, obwohl wir natürlich gar nicht wissen, was als nächstes passiert und ob unser Trade, ob unser Investment wirklich aufgeht. Das weiß unsere Interviewpartnerin natürlich auch nicht. Aber Denise Schull, die viele Jahre selbst Optionen und Futures an der Chicago Mercantile Exchange gehandelt hat und einen Hintergrund in Neurowissenschaft hat, sie hilft als Performance Coach Hedgefonds und professionellen Tradern, ihr Können zu steigern. Und sie lebt in der Nähe von Salt Lake City. Denise, so good to have you here.
Marcus,
welcome.
Thank you.
And you live close to Salt Lake City. My first trip to this wonderful ski area. Hedge funds employing psychiatrists or performance coaches. How common is that?
It's barely common.
Very few talk about it, though.
Well, for one, they consider it their secret weapon.
So when you deal with money, when you trade, when you invest money, why get your head examined?
It's a very heady game. It's a very psychological. I mean, at the end of the day, It's like poker in that you don't win with the cards, you win by predicting how other people are playing their cards. So that's a very psychological endeavor. It's actually called theory of mind. I have a theory of your mind, or we have a theory of the market's collective mind. So it's a task unlike any other task.
Denise, we're going to dive right into the interview. Wir fangen jetzt direkt mit dem Interview an und haben viele Fragen auch von euch mit eingebaut. Marcus Koch gives you a call. I manage a portfolio. I need your help. Walk us through what happens.
Well, I mean, I will ask you like what you want to fix, but in general, I talk to people twice a week for a set hour. People can call me, text me, email me. Generally, almost no one does. But I really start with like, where are you? Like, and if our work together worked, what would be different? And in that, try to understand your world vis-a-vis the market, like how it, I always think to myself, what does it feel like to be you? What does it feel like to be Marcus? What's he struggling with? How much does he know about what he feels? How accurate is he about where the struggles are really coming from? Where is the conflict? Like, I want this and I want that, or I want this and I'm afraid of that. And we basically talk through those things, at least at the beginning, twice a week. I have clients I've had for years, you know, and then we go to once a week or once every other week. And then in practicality, sometimes I get off the phone after a whole day and I think, what did I do? I help people act on their intuition, their true expertise, their true pattern recognition, and tolerate their fears. The form that takes depends on the person's personality.
You work with athletes and with investors. What do they have in common?
You know, the thing is more what they don't have in common, actually. Athletics is a like defined event where you can physically make something happen, and investing and trading is an undefined event that doesn't end, that you never know whether you've won or not, and you can't make something happen. So, I mean, I'm working with how people feel, but those two tasks from a mental point of view are very, very different.
Are there personality traits that are beneficial to trading?
The ability to tolerate not knowing, the ability to tolerate ambiguity, like conflicting information, and not have to have the answer, because for one, there is no the answer. So you could say that self-confidence, you know, an ability to navigate their worries and anxieties in a way that's not debilitating.
What is money? How do you actually need to look at money while trading and investing?
That's a good question. I mean, I will say that professionals and people who are good at it don't do it like by the money. They do it by like winning the game. Did I navigate that situation well? Oh, if I did, then I get paid. Sometimes I get paid a lot. But like to think in terms of I could make this much money, or I shouldn't lose this much money, or like I need to make this much money today, this week, this month, whatever, is sort of a guaranteed way to mess yourself up.
What is the one question every aspiring trader needs to ask themselves?
Well, it's ultimately how are other people going to perceive the market? But a more sort of practical one is what fear of future regret am I feeling? Like, how am I predicting that I'm going to feel bad in the future? Because people do that subconsciously and it drives their behavior and they don't realize it.
Of all those traders out there, in your experience, how many really know what they're doing?
Know what they're doing? None. Zero. It's like sort of either zero or most of them. They feel they're solving for an algebra problem, like in, you know, X equals Y squared sort of thing, when they're really doing a version of poker, predicting how other people are going to behave. So I think the real problem is actually miseducation as to what the game is versus are people naturally good or bad at it.
Why do so many traders play poker?
Because it is very similar. Like, the cards don't win the hand, right? It's how you play the cards vis-a-vis how you think other people are playing the cards. So from a mental task point of view, that's the most similar decision. It's still not exact, because when you lay the cards down, like the aces beat the kings, but and in the market, you know, maybe the price is this now, and it's another thing in an hour, another thing in a week. So there's a whole other layer of uncertainty, but the process of playing poker has the most similarities.
Why is knowing your emotions not enough?
Well, there's different types of emotions. Like, there's the emotions about the trade or the investment, about the market, and then there's the emotions about you, yourself. And the brain is going to give you emotions about you, about your safety, about like what's going to happen to you in the future. But you want to make the decision on your feelings about the market, like your intuition, which is a feeling of like, I know something about this problem at hand. I mean, this applies beyond trading and investing. But you think you're not supposed to have any emotions at all, let alone know that you have multiple types and you need to sort through them and make the decision as best you can on the ones that are about the market, not about you.
What are the most difficult emotions to overcome when trading?
It's this fear that you're going to feel bad in the future. I mean, technically it's called fear of future regret, but like, if I do this, I'm going to lose money, you know, I'm going to take too much risk and lose too much money. Some bad thing is going to happen to you just by shining sunlight on it, by shining awareness on it, it will have less effect. But underneath that tends to be like the human condition. Everybody's sort of insecure in some way, shape, or form.
How do you manage your actions when getting distracted by an emotion?
You know what you're feeling and why you're feeling it. And you then use your intellect to choose the action that has the best odds of getting you the thing you want. Focusing on the feeling that's about the problem, the trade, versus the feeling that's about you. You learn to sort all that out and choose.
You say it's not about turning emotions off. It's not about controlling emotions. It's about controlling your actions. Please explain.
Well, everyone, you know, there's this wild misunderstanding that we have an intellect that should guide our best behavior. And these feelings and emotions are like left over from history. And they're only relevant, you know, if you're hunting on the savannah or whatever. When what we know about the brain is expertise is delivered in a feeling, which is like a sense or a feeling of confidence. That's what people can relate to. A feeling of fear is giving you information that maybe something's wrong. So we now know you cannot make a decision without emotion, and you're actually always predicting your future emotion, meaning, am I going to feel good or bad in the future? Like, those are the factors that drive our behavior, that drive our choice. And we've been like over here saying, ignore all those factors and just focus on telling yourself what to do and being disciplined. Like, we can't beat that source. Like, that's the energy source and we can't override it, which is why it looks like so many people are bad traders, or, you know, looks like people make. So there's this confusion as to the relative role between how we feel and what we do. How we feel controls what we do. So therefore, if we know how we feel, we have a better chance of doing the thing that gets us what we want.
Humans are trained to manipulate the environment in any conversation. We're constantly trying to predict what happens next. How does the unpredictability of the stock market challenge us?
You can't make anything happen. It's a little bit like surfing, you know, in that you learn how to deal with the mechanics of a surfboard, and then you have to feel and like judge the water and make these tiny adjustments. But what you're listening to your body and the feedback you're getting from the ocean, trading is a bit like that.
You once compared the stock market to being a parent. What role does the stock market play? The whole idea of fear of missing out.
So my background's in psychoanalysis and modern psychoanalysis in particular, which is so like, how is our unconscious, you know, skewing our perception in reality, and how are we reacting to people in our lives, like our spouses or our families or our boss, as we might have reacted growing up? I naturally just asked them their life stories, and you started to be able to see that whatever their life story was, like whatever happened to them in sports or school growing up or in their families, that they were projecting it onto the way the prices move. They were projecting it onto like what the market was going to do to them. And I was like, wow. Like, people think of it as this authority figure, and our first authority figures are families, basically. Not every client's willing to go there, but you can figure out sort of what the person's first experience is, first 15, 20 years, kind of how they viewed themselves in the world, and then see how they project that onto how the market's going to treat them, or even how they analyze the market, like what they need to do to play the game, is so driven by how they come to perceive themselves growing up.
We all have stories that we experience in our career. There's one story that rings with you.
I had this client who called me up and said he was a trader on the floor. Well, he was off the floor at the Board of Trade in Chicago. And he said, every morning I lose $10,000 to $20,000, and then I make it back by lunch. And then I come back in the afternoon and I make $10,000 to $20,000. And I do this 4 days out of five for the last 3 years. Literally, even though I had a psychoanalytic background, I just thought, I wonder what's going on. So I said, well, tell me your life story. Well, my mother was 16 in high school. You know, I was born, she was on welfare. And then when I was in second grade, I was a really fast runner in the 50-yard dash. And the coach kind of took me under his wing, and I ended up becoming a runner in high school. I almost made the Olympics. Then I didn't make the Olympics, but the college coach set me up with a car dealership. And it was like, it was his life story. Have nothing, come to something, make something. And in his particular case, he was clearing like 30 to 50 grand a month. The next month he made 100. A year and a half later, he made $1 million in a month. Now, it doesn't usually happen like that, where you just figure out what the person's doing and it just stops. It's usually variations of that. But it was certainly the most dramatic all those years ago.
Should traders focus on winning or on avoiding losses?
Well, the first thing you got to do is avoid big losses. Like, you have to stay in the game. I didn't understand this when I first started, but like having enough capital to continue to trade, still being in the game to give yourself another chance. It ends up, once you learn how to avoid big losses, really being a balance.
Denise, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wir haben so viele Fragen bekommen aus der Community, über 100 Fragen. Und Denise ist so nett, das jetzt nochmal zu vertiefen. Viel Spaß. Thank you.
Thank you.
How do you best reflect your trading mistakes to avoid them from holding you hostage for future trades?
That's a really good question. And in a way, it's the slump question, like, how do I get over something? So you have to go to when it started, like, and say, okay, what are all of my thoughts and feelings about that mistake I made? And first of all, just accept all the thoughts and feelings, and then try to understand really what caused the mistake. But don't try to get over your frustration with yourself or your disappointment. Like, you need to let that feeling work its way through you and come to an understanding of it. Otherwise, you act out that feeling.
You are frustrated after a trade gone bad. Should you take a break? And if so, for how long?
Well, it's totally personal. Like, it depends on, like, how good are you at knowing why exactly you're frustrated? Like, at being able to analyze what you did and what went wrong, and essentially in practicality kind of forgiving yourself. But that's a process of working through what are you feeling and why. So some people can do that in a few minutes, and some people are going to take hours or days.
When being bullish, I only see good news. When being bearish, only bad news. Motivations and desires give rise to biases. How do I avoid only seeing what I wish to see?
Well, you'd be honest with, the core question is, what am I feeling and why am I feeling it? So, like, you feel like a belief in something, you feel confident, fair enough, but you balance that against what do I want to happen? You have to, like, shine the light of day on that. You have to be really, I want this to happen. And if you use your intellect to connect to that desire, you ought to be able to say, okay, well, because I want it to happen, I may not be seeing the pieces of information that show it's not happening.
My initial thoughts are often correct, but once my emotions kick in, doubts and fear ruin my trade. How do I listen to my gut intuition?
Well, first, you change your opinion about, like, once your emotions kick in, because your gut feeling is a form of emotion, really. It's a physical sensation that's giving you information. That exists on a spectrum from, like, a sense of gut feeling to a feeling of confidence to a feeling, a more intense feeling of fear. You learn to know all those points on that spectrum and be able to tolerate the fears, which are going to be mostly about what's going to happen to you, versus that calmer sense of what's going to happen in the market. Like, and so you hold in your hand, essentially, the feeling about what's going to happen to you, and you make your choice about your feeling about what's going to happen in the market.
When trading my demo account using fake money, my performance is huge, but I always end up losing with my real trading account using real money. What can I do?
Like in sports, athletes struggle oftentimes in championship games because more is on the line and they're not navigating their fears. They think they're supposed to put them aside, but instead you have to like invite them in, understand what they're about, categorize the ones that are about yourself versus the ones that are about the market. And that's a process of just learning to tolerate the fear, acting about the feeling about the market.
I made a bad investment and I'm aware of making a mistake, but still hope for better times. How do I learn to cut losses?
Well, you got to figure out what the loss is about to you. So oftentimes it's not about the loss, it's about the being wrong. Being able to tolerate the potential embarrassment of having been incorrect earlier in the cycle will get you out of the trade earlier in the cycle.
I know that timing the exact entry and exit point doesn't work, yet I still feel like my trade wasn't quite perfect. Where does that feeling come from?
I can be pretty much assured that you were criticized a lot growing up, because it doesn't need to be perfect, but you were given the feeling that you had to have an A or you had to be perfect. And so therefore you think that you do in this realm that you don't.
My analysis tells me to invest, but my desire of safety blocks me from doing so. What emotion is holding me back and how do I overcome it?
Well, it's some fear about what's going to happen to you. Like, so if I were coaching you, I'd say, what's the worst that can happen? And you would say, I lose some money. Okay, what happens if you lose money? Well, my spouse will be mad at me. Okay, what happens if your spouse is mad? To go down the rabbit hole of, like, what's the worst? Oftentimes when people do that, they find out, like, the worst is some crazy prediction that could happen, maybe eventually, but it's not going to happen tomorrow or this week. Sometimes they laugh. Sometimes they're more sure it's going to happen, but there's some bizarre thing that happens in our mind that if we just look at that feeling, it has less influence on our behavior.
How deal with the emotions of euphoria and the fear of missing out?
Well, it's always what am I feeling and why, and what am I expecting to feel is the corollary to that. So like a euphoria is like, oh my gosh, what? I'm so happy. I've made so much money. I'm a genius. You know, I'm going to be able to buy that Ferrari or whatever. Like, putting emotions into words, it's called emotion differentiation and granularity. Being able to do that shows that it leads to acting on them less. It leads to being able to use them as information and then being able to choose which ones are information about the market as opposed to your life circumstances or you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.